Betsy Ann Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media with our good friend Michael McKibben. And wow, 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 folks, the red tsunami is coming down and it is just going to be amazing. Now, first, please take note that Donald Trump just tweeted out today, and I'm going to read it to you in big cap letters. Okay, I've seen enough. What's going to happen to these guys, McCabe, Comey, and the gang of treasonous thugs? They and many others got caught. Do something. And that isn't all. But what we're really looking at here is foreign election interference. And we're looking at Mark Malik Brown from the UK, who is behind this foreign election interference. And I keep repeating that because the Democrats have been screaming for 4 years about foreign election interference. But here's the thing, guys. You were doing the videos and the work over 2.5 years ago. This video right now that is picking up a lot of traction is one that you did in July 18, 2018, entitled Evil Men Who Rig Our Elections. And in there, you exposed Mark Malik Brown, George Soros, and Dominion election rigging software, along with others, but you showed how they all roll up. And drum roll, please, the other people behind it are the Romneys. We're talking Tag Romney, Mitt Romney, Rona Romney. Michael, welcome. What did you find in the mines today?
Hey, it's good to see you. Good to talk to you. What we found in the mines has been emerging for the last, good week and a half. And we decided to put people on looking at the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania because of all the stories emerging. And of course, she had an interview on Today's Show the day after the election, and she said it went very smooth. And they didn't have any problems, and they saw no evidence of fraud. Well, that now appears to be a very self-serving statement. And I'm going to summarize what we found about her. And what we found out about her is that in things she doesn't ever say in her biographies, those were pregnant with meaning. And that meaning was really focused on some friends of hers who were fellow students at a high school she went to called Hewitt High School in Hewitt Neck, New York. And that was essentially a private school. It was a high school, a public high school. But if you look at the list of alumni elitists that emerged out of that school, that was what we now know as a feeder school for the deep state or the Pilgrim Society. And one of her fellow students in her senior year was on the student council with her and was actually the president or vice president, depending on which bio you look at, of that student council. And his name was Neil Simon. It's not the singer. It's N-E-A-L Simon. And to cut a long story short, he was for 17 years the CEO of Bronfman Rothschild Finance, and that became the fourth largest finance company in the United States before he sold to the Bronfmans. He had had it under a different name previous to that. And the Bronfman that he dealt with was Matthew Bronfman, and Matthew's sister is the indicted and imprisoned founder of the NXIVM cult, the sex trafficking, human trafficking cult, who was just prosecuted and sent to prison. So when you start seeing those kinds of associations by a public official, you start wondering if she ever disclosed any of these relationships that she had with the Rothschilds or the Bronfmans or anyone else. And the big fat answer is no. She said nothing. Take it away, Douglas.
I love fat answers. But, you know, she's been British influenced, so they just pass it off and they're like a Biden or a Obama or a Bush who can just lie to your face. They lie all day long. That's their job. They're prepared for it. It's like they took a job in the mafia, you know, and that's just what's expected, a certain type of grooming that puts you into positions of power so that you can do the bidding of your master. And who's her master? George Soros, because George Soros supported all of those Democrats, Secretary of States and Attorney Generals in all the blue states in 2016, and especially his money poured in after he gave $84 billion to these NGOs that support this with his insane open society philosophy in 2018. What did he do? He basically bought the Attorney General and Secretary of State positions anywhere he could with as much money as it took, because he funded illegally through non-government organizations that, you know, have nice names to them. So anyway, she's a bought and paid for George Soros operative, just like the one that you brought to light here in Michigan, who was another disgustingly groomed person who didn't need that job. That's not what they needed. They needed power. And so what did they do? They were part of a conspiracy. And anybody who is manipulating the votes is part of the conspiracy. Now, let's be very clear about this. You can do software manipulation, which you and the miners discovered. Optech goes all the way back to Jimmy Carter and Lord Mark Malik Brown when he was assistant head of the UN. And in Venezuela, they needed to bring a socialist to power, so they created a software called Optech, still used today as the underlying source code that drives Dominion, Heart InterCivic, Diebold, ES&S, all of them. But what's really crazy, and Mike, I want you to really hone in on this, okay? What's the craziest thing of all is the software. Anybody can hack it. Anybody can get into it. And it's been proven with the last election in 2018. There's been complaints all over there with Dominion and with
Smartmatic.
SGO Smartmatic, which is Mark Malik Brown's rebranding of Smartmatic after he dropped Seidel, which was moving the data out of America to Spain, manipulating it, and then moving it back, or as Betsy points out, in other countries too, because it's been demonstrated by excellent programmers that you can get into this program. There's no security, anything. Anybody can manipulate this. A junior high school student could manipulate it. Why? Because they're using electronic devices, and there's nothing ever secure, no matter what, ever. And if you go on the internet, then it's 100,000 times percentage true that nothing is secure and anything can be manipulated. And then the machines, the Diebold machines in Ohio, were found to be fractional voting. And in Florida, hundreds of lawyers fought that case. And what happened? Diebold still produces voting machines. Okay. And then Dominion's the new one. Dominion is just the one that's going to go down. They're the ones stupid enough to step up during this absolutely fraudulent election, which is a conspiracy because the Secretary of States have all worked together for a secure election. And we now find that they didn't do anything like that. They sent out 80 million unsolicited ballots. Okay, so therefore the election is a fraud from the beginning. And then in all these states, in all of these Democratic run states by the governor and like in Michigan, it's absolutely, I don't know what to call it, except fascism. It's fascism to be able to think that you can manipulate this and get away with it. Then there's the fractional voting, of course, which is in the machine, but it can also be through digital manipulation and the data manipulation. So that's another level, which we already see at all levels. In any state that wants this, they can have it. And I'm not saying just Democrat. When those evil Republicans got elected to the White House, they were in charge of those machines. Mitt Romney and his have their own company. Everybody's got a piece of one of these. But here's the deal. Why would we ever let a corporation, especially a corporation outside of the United States of America, have anything to do with touching the most sacred information data that we produce through our Democratic Republican vote?
Democratic, I'll tell you why.
And Republican, as in the Republic.
So, these are attorneys.
And there's ballot fraud, and then there's ballot harvesting, and it just goes on and on and on and on. Today, Betsy, I want you to think in your head, how many of the different crimes that we've already seen, could you rattle them off? I think I could probably hit a pretty good number. Because it's all over the news. It can't be ignored. but the people are just denying it. But the fact of the matter is those are federal felonies. Every single ballot that was manipulated, not counted, improperly counted, thrown away, destroyed, or sent out unsolicited is a federal crime.
Right.
That's 80 million federal crimes.
Well, the reason they do it overseas is very simple. You can't get arrested overseas for doing election fraud in the U.S. So whenever they want something really bad done, like surveying Trump Tower, they go hire the British. And as we're seeing, Spain was very closely tied to British propaganda after World War One, and that's never been anything else. So that doesn't surprise me that Spain has popped up. And will continue to pop up.
I knew you were going to say that, because you're the only person who knows that besides me. And the only reason I know it is you told me that the propaganda arm went to Spain. They made the movies. They made all this big show because they found that if people watched a movie, they believed it, period, in those days. You see the movie, you believe what's there on screen. You have someone speaking to you through a radio, it has to be truth. That's what was pounded into everyone. Total mind control from the very beginning.
Well, the reason they have so many different techniques for the fraud is because they're never sure in any particular race what the vote results are going to be coming in and the legitimate votes. So what they've got to do is have two or three or four different techniques waiting in the wings, because one of the keys to this voter fraud is to keep the elections close. Because then if there's a flip of a half a percent or a quarter percent or a percent, that can be imperceptible as you watch these updates occur and you don't notice that the total went down for somebody. And I've seen that in the race that I was watching closely in Missouri at the last election. It actually went down. And then when he filed a complaint with the election commission in Missouri, they just poo-pooed it all and shoved it under the carpet. So they have different mechanisms. So when it's a landslide, there's really not a lot they can do. So in this case, they did something interesting that I had not seen before, and that was they actually stopped the vote counting in the toward the midnight. And that's new. And of course, then they added the paper ballots, which you can print as many as you want of, and then have them shoved in, and whether they're filled out or not, what we now see is that people in those polling places that are hired after they've pushed out all the bipartisan observers just started filling out the ones that weren't filled out, so they'd have a bunch of them filled out. Now, it's heartening that finally, after us talking about this and others for two or three years, the average person is starting to pay attention, and Dominion is now popping back in. Now, keep in mind, if you actually track back the name Dominion, it has been about three or four or five different companies over the course of the last 10 years. And that is a technique of these corruptocrats to keep the ball moving back and forth and flipped in and out, sold, resold, rebought, renamed. Then they're back to the original name, and Dominion for a while was headquartered in Canada. So you can get dizzy just looking at how they've kept the regulators off their trail. So right now it's Dominion, and finally it's getting the attention it needs. But let me suggest something, because if these courts and the politicians are just now trying to understand Dominion, it's going to be years before they really get a handle on what they should have been doing to stop this a long time ago. So I have a suggestion for all of our Patriot officials that there's a simple way to deal with this now. Let's just assume for a second, and you know, we don't have to assume, we know, the train's already left the station with the fraudulent ballots from these voting machines. So there's a very simple test now that can be applied. Anybody that's been in a lawsuit knows there's something called chain of custody. So when you put a piece of evidence before a court, you have to prove that there has been an unbroken chain of custody of that evidence. Otherwise, it can't be submitted as evidence because it can't be verified as true. So if you if the police pick up a piece of evidence and they put it in the locker room and store it, and then somebody picks it up and takes it out for 3 or 4 days and then brings it back, but didn't sign an in and out, that's a bad chain of custody and that evidence has to be thrown out. Well, in this case, our electors, all they have to do is look at the ballot. With that ballot, can they prove unbroken bipartisan chain of custody? In other words, there were eyes on it by all of the parties that were involved in that election, so that everybody's got an interest in making sure that the tally is accurate. If they can't prove that there was bipartisan unbroken chain of custody on that piece of paper, they can't count the vote.
But Michael, this reminds me, speaking of chain of custody, of that time, remember, Douglas, when San Bernardino was going down and the FBI went to the crime scene, and instead of putting yellow tape around it to keep people out and the chain of custody protected, they just opened the doors and anybody could come in and just look through the evidence. I mean,
that's it. They can't use any of that evidence.
Well, there you go.
And the alleged killer, her license happened to be on the bed, so they showed it and showed her license and all her personal stuff. It was like it was laid out. It was so disgusting.
It's a game these attorneys who know about that know how to play, and they play it well. But in this case, the ballot question, they've generated ballots by these machines. And so with each of those ballots that were generated by these machines, can they prove that there were eyes on it, bipartisan eyes on that ballot the entire time? And since we know they can't, all of those ballots have to be thrown out.
This entire election has been fraudulent, but it's going to come down to Trump just making sure that he gets enough votes to be reelected, and then he's going to tear the system up. Why? Because it is systemic and it is unfixable. Why? Because George Soros can place anybody into a position where one person controls this. So the Secretary of State's Secretary of State of all the states can stand there and say, there's no voter fraud here. Why? Because I said so. That is disgusting. That's insanity. The question being raised should have instantaneously made an audit necessary. And then literally a recount. And there's going to have to be, unless they just start calling together the Times and Dominion, which you actually see it on the screen, took I forget how many thousands and thousands of votes, took it out of Trump's line. He went down that exact amount and put it into Biden's, and he went up that amount at that exact moment on the screen. Broadcast on mainstream media. We saw it again and again and again. I would sit there and just get so upset that numbers would go down for a candidate. You're watching it and the numbers go down. How do numbers go down once you already have them up there? And then why is it that it happens to follow a certain pattern so that, it looks like Biden has the Electoral College and Trump needs to concede? Conceding doesn't mean the electors are out of their obligation legally, which is a federal crime if they don't follow it, to vote for who the people that they represent voted for. So it doesn't matter if someone concedes. That's an American stupid tradition. And Leader Plus was stolen the name from you, and that's what they used a few years ago, Leader Plus, to determine the night of the election who wins, and then it's over, and the side that loses must concede.
Right. No. If you're going to use propaganda to win an election, you have to make a move fast before
Biden
people
said
can
earlier that he would not accept the election until it had been completely certified and passed through the Electoral College.
Well, that was a lie.
He said that himself, and so but you're doing the exact opposite. You want to start meeting with world leaders and try to get yourself out of the crimes you and Hunter were involved in, which also included, many other people in the Senate and the House. Now, going back, I said earlier, what do you think, Betsy? How many illegal activities in this election can I name in 10 seconds?
Go for it.
What do you think?
I don't know, but I'll tell you something. I am not going to stand by and watch these people get off. these people have committed treason, and I don't care how illustrious their names are, like you, Mr. Barr, who's done nothing except sit on your lard ass for 633 days where we have not seen any indictments of any of these swamp rats. Oh, except for that little piece of thing you gave us called Kleinsmith. Well, the people of this country aren't standing for it anymore, and we're not going to accept anything but the full measure of law and order. And if traitors have to be executed, so be it. This is just so egregious, and we have to get our country back. Now, here's your 10 seconds. Go for it.
Improper signing, drive-through voting, ballot harvesting, extending the end date of the vote day. So many dead people, we can't count them all. Illegal aliens who got the right to vote by getting a license to drive in one of five states. Court manipulation, which we've already seen grotesquely. Destroyed ballots, broken custody, chain of custody, multiple votes under one name, data manipulation beyond imagination, the no watermarks on many of the ballots. Ballots were thrown away, ballots were burnt, ballots were thrown in lakes, ballots were stolen, in massive amounts were stolen, as well as you can stand, they had cameras watching people stuff them. Oh, sorry, I got distracted. And then software manipulation, machine manipulation through programming, fractional voting, data manipulation, and did I mention ballot fraud, which would then have another category of 25 underneath that. So, I don't think we've ever seen anything so crazy. So to go back to your original opening remarks, Betsy, the reason Trump said that in his tweet, I'm going to go back to our old days when Thomas Paine and the Ass of the Globalists would interpret his tweets. I'm from the Ozarks. In 2006, why is he bringing up?
We've noticed, Douglas.
You've noticed, yeah, in many ways, in all too many ways. Why did Trump bring up McCabe and Comey and all this? Because, of course, McCabe was testified and he did nothing but deny, right? That's what you do. That's it. That's all you give anybody. Just deny. Well, that's the 2016 election when there was a treasonous attempt called Crossfire Hurricane and many other names. The committee, there's so many names. There are 13 names for the group that has been tracked and followed in public documents, federal public documents, stating that there was a treasonous coup against Trump. Whether it was wearing a wire, going, you know, planning to wear a wire, whether it was trying to manipulate the cabinet to say he's crazy and get him out, you know, that was treason. And the election treason was through SCL, the mother company of Cambridge Analytica, through the Global Engagement Center. That was the Russian manipulation and meddling. So that was the 2016. That's why he's talking. That was treason. In 2018, it was George Soros bought the attorney generals, bought the secretary of states, bought all kinds of positions and brought in absolute radicals who had been trained by the young Turks, Yunk Irger and the whole gang. I mean, you can't get any worse than that. That's AOC. AOC is only repeating the training she had. They could train any bartender to say what she's saying because it doesn't make any sense. She's just saying words. She doesn't know they have any connection to reality. So basically, the 2018 was another treasonous assault on our election. And then 2020, they pulled out all the stops. They tried every single trick, all these ones I mentioned, and there's probably 100 more. Oh, they didn't let people in to watch the election. There wasn't bipartisan handling. There was, oh my gosh, I've seen so much. I'm overwhelmed. Okay.
But you've rattled off a long list. But I propose again that the way you work through that list is just look at the ballot and ask whether there was unbroken bipartisan chain of custody. Forget about all the techniques they've used. Let's keep it simple. Because I think if we keep it simple, getting through this count's going to be a lot easier. We can't.
That's going through the counts. And I agree at the local level, at the grassroots level, that is a very good solution. But at the level of the president, I want to see some military action. Now, I was reading a tweet and I can't give you a source for it, but it's a very good idea that the U.S. Army went in and seized the servers that this company had where it's doing the, you know, how the votes are going to a foreign country to be counted. Right. And so that the U.S. military would go in and seize those servers. I'm trusting that even though citizens are working on the ground, kind of that bottom up, that President Trump and his team have a top down approach where they're taking it from the root of the problem. Can you explain how that works where the votes are changed in a foreign country, Michael?
Yeah, that's called man in the middle. That's classic man in the middle. So that there is a ability to intercept the any kind of signal coming from a precinct or a county, let's say, back to the state election system. And they've set up somebody in the middle who's getting that signal run through their server before it goes to the state. And then from there, and what happened in Ohio in 2004 is that signal was sent down to Tennessee and those votes were manipulated down to Tennessee before they came back to the state. For Ohio. So that's man in the middle. And that is one of the, that's their kind of their trump card plan. But the problem when you do that is it can be easy for people to see that one. So what they do is they use these other kabuki theater processes and confuse the situation. So you've got a lot of moving parts and therefore you won't notice the big fix, which is the man in the middle. And that's their ultimate control.
And to answer your question, from my point of view there, Betsy, what we got going is a conspiracy. Conspiracy of attorney generals in the states, of secretary of states, and of many politicians. And who is pulling their strings? Well, it's the same old thing. We've seen 14 of them before. America's ignored, most Americans have ignored all 14 of them. George Soros' color revolutions. We are in the purple George Soros color revolutions. He dropped $84 billion to get those NGOs, which included Antifa, which included Black Lives Matter, which included all the people out on the street trying to riot. Those people are being paid good money. We've heard their testimony. We've been given the numbers they can call for legal assistance, that they will not be even held overnight, though they are, you know, might have set the city on fire. So that
can
was
I can I stop you there?
Yeah,
because I think we've always heard of George Soros and the color revolutions, but because Mark Malik Brown's involved, what we need to do, I think, is open that lens up a bit and see that the United Nations is behind this. The reason they built OPTEC in Venezuela was because the United Nations wanted to control elections, and Mark Malik Brown is credited with changing the elections in something like 30 countries. And so now we see the Strong Cities Initiative. We see all of this effort to manipulate our healthcare under the World Health Organization and the United Nations. It's a takedown of the entire country by the United Nations that want to make the United States serve the goals of the Pilgrim Society and the globalists. So it's not just George, it's Mark Malik Brown, it's Jeffrey Patty, and it's a lot of these newbie players, these younger ones like Gretchen Whitmer, like Kathy Buchvar in Pennsylvania, the lady in Arizona. They're all in that little mix of recruits who were recruited in the late 80s and early 90s that were pushed forward very quickly with their mind programming, and they were pushed up to the top of these various organizations to give them these fake credentials. I mean, if you look at what these people have done in like Michigan and Pennsylvania, they're just empty suits. Buchvar is an attorney, and she's only ever taken one federal case to a judge. One. And she's got one scholarly work, and it is a raging eugenics plan to basically kill the traditional family, put women into artificial insemination. I mean, it's disgusting to read this document. And those are the people that we are counting on to do a job. Where did we go to sleep, Douglas?
Well, in the arms of the Lord, in Sophia's temple. Because that's the only solace you're going to get, because this world is the evil of this world is sufficient unto the day, and it belongs to its Lord, who is, of course, you know, the devil, mm-hmm. some stories thrown down here from heaven. So what we have is a gigantic conspiracy. It's systemic. We have all these people who were put in place over years. We got it coming from both ways, from NGOs, from the inside politicians, from media. They say if you got three children in Britain, one carries the family title, one goes into politics, and one goes into media, and the stupidest one goes into media. And, you know, that's really the truth when you look at it. That's the reason you see some of these people who could be pulling down huge amounts of money, taking stupid jobs completely for political reasons. It's because they were well-placed, it was calculated, and George Soros basically tried to buy this election, and he did a pretty darn good job, except that in 2018, when they harvested ballots down in Florida and in other states for 17 seats in the House of Representatives, we sat around watching truckloads of ballots, and then you watch the numbers and they're all for one candidate. I mean, really? And no one noticed? Well, Trump, of course, noticed. And of course, there's already should be a very well laid case against this type of conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy.
Right. So the latest thing that's occurring is the BBC is now pushing out propaganda that's pro George Soros. And the opening salvo was so obviously fake. They said that George Soros was a survivor of the Holocaust, and that he fled Hungary to get away from communism. And then the whole premise of the whole article keyed off of that. Well, as we know, he was a German Nazi collaborator who actually helped them steal Jewish property. So he didn't flee the Holocaust. He helped the Holocaust happen. And secondly, he fled communism. Well, communism came in for sure, but now we know he's a promoter of communism. He doesn't flee it. So the whole premise is wrong, but for the undiscriminating reader, they're going to read a very warm and fuzzy George Soros, poor George, he's getting beat up by the right. And that was the theme of this article, that the right is beating him up unfairly. And we've just got to feel sorry for this survivor of the Holocaust. I mean, that is outrageous. We have him on that CBS TV show saying that he enjoyed the process of stealing property from the Jews.
He actually said that those years were the most favorite years of his entire life, because he was able to take from, and then he describes it, he was able to take material and assets from one place, still pay off the boss above you, and have enough to go on the black market. And it was very thrilling. I mean, he was putting his life on the line to do it. He says, those were the best years of my life.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, this man, if you've studied him, you will know that he is pure evil. And yet we give him the highest seat at the financial conferences, at the, you know, the World Economic Council or the world. Oh, we have to listen to George Soros. Why? Because he has effectively ripped off 14 countries through direct political manipulation and through color revolutions, which literally in many cases came to people dying. Now he's doing it in America, and we've seen it clear as a day. And we have Trump who says, goes back to the 2016 talking about the gang from the FBI. In 2018, that, sorry, folks, we saw what happened and we monitored it and we really couldn't stop it because it was considered a practice. It's kind of like DACA. You know, you could go to the court and they still won't say, no, you can still ballot harvest. It's okay. Or you don't have to have signatures on it, or the signatures don't have to match with it. If they're dead, so what? Or, you know, or if they have a license, you can vote. The 22 million illegal aliens in this country can vote. Okay, then the election is not secure to begin with.
Can I interrupt you? Let me just give one example of what I saw in some of this news coverage among these, quote, attorneys who are looking at some of these videos and seeing somebody mark on a ballot and thinking the best about it, say, well, they're probably just resetting a damaged ballot and they're marking the votes from the damaged ballot. Now, think about how stupid that idea is, and to let that ride is an incompetent, maybe criminal attorney, because he or she is forgetting the key principle here. If I don't care what that person was doing, if there wasn't a bipartisan group over the shoulder watching what they were doing, then that ballot is invalid. And it's just amazing to me how ignorant and incompetent most of the commentary is right now when they're trying to give the benefit of the doubt to all this illegal stuff going on in these counting rooms. Nothing that they do, if it wasn't monitored by a bipartisan group, is valid. Nothing.
It's operator error that causes 6,000 votes to be switched from a Republican to a Democrat.
Okay, let me ask you something.
It was a stroke of a key.
The 6,000 numbers, was that observed by a bipartisan group? And if the answer is no, I don't care what the reason was.
Totally.
I don't care whether it was fraud from a software package or somebody dropped some jam on the keyboard, whatever. It doesn't matter.
There are regulations that state that every state in the union must have paper backup for their ballots so that in a recount, we can actually look at each one and say, wait a second, no signature. Oh, wait a second. You know, and just take a real look at them instead of put them through a machine that counts them and then can manipulate those digits so easily. It is ridiculous. So I want to say, like Betsy, people got to go to jail. And we have foreign influence in this election because Lord Sir Mark Malik Brown, Privy Council member, a good friend of Jeffrey Patty, and guess who his normal bunk buddy is? Oh, that's right. He was not only in the Quantum Fund with George Soros, he was the founding member of the Open Borders Society.
He was co-founder of the Open Society Foundation.
Foundation, yep.
Yes.
He was right there. So he is George Soros and Mark Malik Brown. And of course, George Soros is handling the outside and all the payoffs to the politicians on the inside. Where Sir Brown is simply doing what he's been doing for a long, long time. He has been caught again and again with different machines, different software, things that he used, court cases. What does he do? He changes the name. That's why the new name of Smartmatic is
SGO.
Smartmatic. It's a different company. So why? He makes more money and has more control.
Now, I know that you say jail, and that's very nice of you, but I say executions for the traitors, of course, after they go through a Nuremberg-style place, because this is why. I want to go all the way back. This is where I started. I started at 9/11. I don't believe a damn thing that commission said, and I know who's behind it now that I've done the research, and I want to see Dick Cheney and George Bush pulled out in trial. Because of these men, Americans died. Thousands of Americans died on our soil and needless wars in the Middle East where millions of people have been killed since then. These people are not human. They need to be tried and executed.
That's right.
I stand corrected, Betsy. You're right. But even somebody who is an anti-Trumper, and it's okay because it's accepted because the media does it. So I'm just going to take these ballots and I'm going to take the ones that are marked R on the back, Republican, and I'm going to burn them. Okay. Those people, should we execute them? Well, they were part of the conspiracy. My point is, I think both of you have made it also, is that this goes back to real basic things. Who are the people who own the machines, who own the software? It has been corrupt since the Uniparty came into existence. They know who the president's going to be ahead of time. Just like you said, Michael, they can, with the machine, they can get it down to, 49 to 51. Oh, your candidate almost won. But at the last second, there were some numbers came in. Well, where did those numbers come from? Who knows? And we believe it. Why? Because the media tells it to us.
Because it came out of software, and software never lies, right?
Machines don't lie. That's artificial intelligence. It's higher than human intelligence. I'm being sarcastic, of course. It's treason, Betsy. You're absolutely right.
Well, let me point something else out.
It was treason in 2018, and it's treason still in 2020.
Let me point out something else. Each of us is a free being, and these people that are in those counting rooms, marking those ballots, doing these illegal things, they are not off the hook here because somebody may have told them to do it, but they didn't have to choose to do it. So somebody may tell me to go wreck my car and kill somebody out in the street corner, but I don't think I'm going to do that. And so what we have is a lot of culpable individuals that have worked in these, and maybe they'll claim ignorance. Well, they told me to do it and that kind of thing. But the fact is those people are just as guilty of voter fraud as the people that told them to do it. So I think that we've got a lot of potential whistleblowers that should come forward and tell us what they know before they get on the list that heads down to Guantanamo or is jailed or is hung for treason because they participated in it. They didn't have to.
How many male men and women manipulated ballots? We're going to need every FEMA camp that has been prepared for us conservatives, for all of the libtards who need to be locked up for their treasonous actions. That's with one ballot, one single ballot.
Right.
Doesn't take two. And if you did it with 600,000 electronically, how many counts of election manipulation is that? I mean, you can't even count them. Just throw them in the FEMA camps, okay? All you got to do is track back the digital manipulation and you know exactly who did it. We actually have films of all these people who did these crimes. We have films of the training here in Detroit, here in Michigan, was it was broadcast everywhere on Facebook where they're telling them how to manipulate the vote for Biden. And then they literally put up some kind of blind to make sure that you couldn't look through to see the people counting votes. Well, when there's a recount here in Michigan and it goes to Detroit, they're going to be shocked. When that happened in a previous election with Hillary, when she contested it and did the three-state recount and then gave up because it showed that it had been manipulated for the Democrats. So she actually didn't get those votes. She stopped. Okay, what happens this time when Trump forces it? If that happened with Hillary Clinton, how far can they go with the astounding amount of manipulation that is happening in Michigan right now before our very eyes, which has been recorded and which we have affidavits of people who make these statements. But really, in this Nazi-held state, and remember, Gretchen Whitmer is a George Soros lover. I mean, she loves him. She just wants to get up there in the bunk. We need to have these bunk buddies, Soros and Sir Brown, arrested at the same time so they can, you know, share the same cell. But right up there in the bunk with Soros is Nazi Gretchen Whitmer. She is the epitome of somebody who's doing what she's told, has no justification for it whatsoever. None, zero. Look at the numbers. And just, I'm going to say this, I can't help but sneak this in. The CDC just 2 weeks ago said that there's only been 40,000 deaths from COVID. The other numbers are when you add pneumonia, flu, the flu numbers, that's the reason they're down so low. This year, they say they're not going to count the flu numbers. Why? So they can elevate the supposed COVID numbers. And even then, look at it. It looks like we hit the bottom last week. We'll see.
So you're saying that COVID is a miracle cure for the flu.
COVID was a pandemic to affect the election. It was to keep people in the house. It was to keep them fearful of each other. Yep. It was a complete fabrication, but guess who knew about it ahead of time? Every governor that used Nazi fascist techniques. And what are they doing? They're trying to get the attention of their paymaster, George Soros and his non-government organizations. All these things are illegal, by the way. You cannot be partisan and be a not-for-profit organization like these NGOs. So we just have to put Soros in a noose, and because he's an American, and Lord Mark Malik Brown, we have to consider he's a war actor. I don't know. I think we shoot them, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Hey, I have a little birdie told me something about you that I never knew. I cannot believe, Douglas, that we've gone all this time and I never knew this, but I am going to announce it to the world. Douglas was a Green Beret. And I believe you were also a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne. Is that true?
Yeah, after I was in the NSA. Yeah, after I was in the NSA.
So you were Green Beret. Do you still have your beret?
Much reluctance. The reason they chose me is because I was the best teacher they had in communications. I had already done over 100 parachute jumps with these very professional Green Berets who are always on the base. Every NSA base, you know, which is whether it's Navy or United States Air Force or Army or Marine or whatever, it doesn't matter. There's always these killer Green Berets who do nothing but stand around, or they go to the pool parlor and play pool, or they throw dice. But they do nothing. You know what they're there for? they are to kill the NSA guys because they have the codes in their head. So when I went down, so they took me out of the training school at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, top teacher, top everything, you know, and sent me to the worst job they had to become a grunt in the 101st Airborne at Fort Bragg. They were airborne Green Berets. So I had to catch up.
Wow.
I lost,
I'm impressed.
8 months or something. So I went through this intensive training, blah, blah, blah. It was not all that intensive. And then I had to go in and literally on the ground control the communication system of the readiness group, if you know what that means. The readiness group are the first troops after the Marines who go in. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this group couldn't even talk to each other on their radios if they were a mile down the street. So I had to go help correct that. That's the reason that other people's stories of what happened at Fort Bragg and the NSA I know are not true, because I was there. So I had to go there for the last 7-8 months or something like that. So yes, they pushed me out of planes. Actually, I was happy to jump. And, you know, the whole thing.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
Thank you for that.
Not impressive.
Question for Douglas, because that could take us for another hour if you want to tell you all the details about him as a paratrooper.
Oh, we do want to hear these stories.
Right. But I want to just wrap it up by reminding you how we all got started here. Douglas and I got started because we saw that people were looking at Sandy Hook and seeing that, you know, there were children that died. And we read the books that Jim Fetzer, and he was writing some great books about Sandy Hook. And so then we put our attention on it because we had been busy writing our Gospel of Sophia trilogy. And when we read the book and began to look at the picture, we realized Fetzer was nail on. This was not an actual event. It was a false flag. And that got us very interested. So we got into the internet to begin to find the truths that places like Fox News or Breitbart were not giving us. And we found even more disturbing things. But how many of you came to know us is because we saw another false flag being run real time. We called it a false flag in a false flag, and that was the San Bernardino operation. We know that the people that are reading our material are leading thinkers in the world. And so by us putting out the information quickly, the leading thinkers could look at the situation in a different way and not through the lens of the media. So then we wrote a lot about how to spot a false flag. And here we are 4 years plus later. Because why? Because when we saw Donald Trump come down the escalator with Melania, we knew and make his announcement, we knew that 17 intelligence agencies were not in his court. And in fact, we had done enough research at that point that we knew there wouldn't be anybody in Washington that would be in his court. We didn't dream it would be this bad, and I doubt that he did either, but it was horrific. And every day, every single day, we get together and we do something and push something out for you, and because we told you that we would be with you through this 4 years until Donald Trump was reelected. Well, folks, he has won. And not only has he been reelected, I believe that we have done the kind of research that he needed to then be able to finally drain the swamp. And that's what I'm looking forward to. On behalf of everyone that sends me emails on how amazing the team is, it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Michael McKibben, who invented a technology that allowed us to use scalability in the internet so that our voice could be heard all over the world, even just recording it once. And not only that, beyond that is the research that he and the miners do every week. He goes into work every week. I don't think you people understand. He was ripped off by the government, the executive office. Obama stole Leader Technologies technology. Michael doesn't have a penny from it, but every day he goes into his office and he does the work for patriots around the world. And he has not been paid anything for his service to this country or to his technology. Now, people, you need to contact the White House and you need to make this right for Michael and his shareholders. And the other person I have to thank is Douglas. Douglas Gabriel is an amazing thinker, a genius. Now, what happened is because I'm his wife, I would sit and listen to him give political commentary on things and thought, you know, the whole world needs to hear this. And so that's when we started recording and writing. And then later, of course, as we were trying to figure out what was really wrong in our world, the thing that we kept coming up with is that the social media platform is based upon a theft. And if we could get that, that would be like getting the Achilles heel of the deep state. And we have done that, and we can take them out. And our country can be so amazing because, see, people, we did not win the first American Revolutionary War, but we are going to win it now under the leadership of Donald Trump. And after he puts down the coup and we become America again, that's when his first day of his first term begins. And then he can hold another term if he wishes. I hope he runs again in 2024. Thank you so much for everybody for being here with us.